upon this day. Thank you, Father, once again that we can come into your presence, even as we've been singing of, Father, when the floods of evil, Father, would be all around. How glad we are that there's a rock that, Father, we can stand upon. How glad we are that there's a shelter in the midst of storm. How glad we are, Father, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Thank you, Father, for the visitors in our gates. Bless them, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Father, for our sister back from Canada. Bless her as well, Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Bless us now as we commune together. Father, we wait upon you. You be glorified, we pray, this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, you may be seated. I just want to take a topic about speaking about the power of God's word. You know, we many times look and we wonder how people in days gone by overcame. You know, how people managed to do great exploits. We read of people in the Bible. We read Hebrews chapter 11. And we have a look at those kinds of people. And if we're not careful, we can quite easily make people into people who are not flesh and blood like us. But like the Bible says, Elijah was a man of like passion. So now all of these people who did great exploits, and we look back through the church ages, we look in our age, we look around us when God is doing mighty things. You know, sometimes it's an easy thing for us to think that other people have some special something. No, especially if you're a young person, you can sometimes look and say, but you know, maybe this person, the reason they can overcome is because they've got this, that, or the other. Or, you know, but one thing that you find out, the more that you fellowship, is that we all are subject to like temptations. If you find the Lord Jesus Christ being subject to temptation, the Bible says he was tempted in all ways like unto us, yet without sin. You know, so you're going to find that the devil doesn't leave anybody alone. That everybody is subject to temptation. Everybody is subject to the weakness of the flesh. Everybody is subject to the valleys in the experience. Everybody is subject to all manner of things. Because you know, the devil is no respecter of persons. You know, whenever the devil sees somebody like Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, he's just come from baptism. He's come from the Jordan. He's just been freshly filled with the Holy Ghost. He's got the Spirit is upon him. And he goes straight out into the wilderness. And the first thing that happens in his ministry is temptation. He's going to be tempted. He's going to be tested. And that's one thing with us. We're going to be tested on what we believe.
Amen.
And if I had to see maybe the greatest weakness about this current generation of, not so much in our church, but this generation of young people that are raising up, is that there's so many people who don't really know what they believe.
Amen.
Well, they don't know. I mean, they don't know why they believe what they believe.
Amen.
And friend, in this kind of an age, you don't want to go long without really knowing why you believe what you believe.
Amen.
It's never enough to believe something just because your mommy and daddy told you. That's good. But when the devil comes to you, your mommy and daddy aren't going to be there.
No,
because everything which we claim to believe, we're going to be tested on. The devil's going to come face to face and test you on what you're claiming to believe. And he's going to question everything. He's going to come to Jesus and say, are you the Son of God? You were born in a manger. Can the Son of God be like that? You know, he's that kind of, the way he's looking for any opportunity that he can to come and get you to question. So he's going to challenge us on what we believe. In this message, we see it. Questions about the cloud. Who would ever have thought we're going to find things like that? But the devil will come and say, is that exactly the way that it was?
Yeah.
No. Questions about prophecy, questions about those kind of things. Friends, we're going to be assaulted right to the end of this journey.
Amen.
This is a battle. We're in a conflict and we've got to make sure we train for this conflict.
Yeah.
We've got to make sure we use the weapons, the resources that have been given to us to overcome in this conflict.
Yeah.
Because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood.
Yeah.
It's not your willpower that's going to get you through.
Yeah.
It's not your willpower that's going to help you to overcome in the day of temptation.
Amen.
You know, God has given us certain resources. And one of the most powerful resources he's given us is his word. And this is something which is so greatly underestimated, especially by the young people of this age. I find people don't search the scriptures.
Amen.
People don't get down into the scriptures to really search out to understand the things that we believe.
Amen.
And that's how we can go quite some time and people can profess that they've believed certain things and then they meet the challenger. Now they meet the critic, they meet Mr. Unbeliever. No, somebody throws something before them and they're not able to answer now. Now they're confused. You know, now they're wondering, hey, well, is it really right what you believe? You know, what we've been taught and the things, friends, you never ever want to find yourself alone in that kind of a situation. You want to make sure you know that you, why you believe what you're professing to believe. You want to make sure that you're building yourself upon a solid foundation. And there's only one solid foundation, and that's the Word of God.
Amen.
And everything which you believe in this message that you believe, it's from the Scripture.
Amen.
We have to come to the stage as believers that we can preach this message completely from the Bible.
Amen.
Because if anything is in the message, it's not in the Bible, then that's not a word prophet. It's not a word message. So everything we believe, we've got to be able to bring it back to the Scripture.
Amen.
And this is something which Satan can never overcome.
Amen.
Satan will never overcome the genuine anointed word.
Yes.
He's never been able to overcome it from the beginning. He'll never be able to overcome it if it's in you.
Yes.
And that's the key. The key to a victorious Christian life. We've always been focusing in the last months on youth, and this youth camp here is on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the one resource the Lord has given us to overcome. But just as important, He's given us the Word.
Amen.
And friends, if we don't know this Bible, if this Bible doesn't become your best friend, you know, if you don't eat this Word, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but we live from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And there's no shortcuts to that. No, we don't have 10 secrets to spiritual success and those things concerning the Bible. Those things they don't help you in the day of battle. There's nothing can compare with somebody getting into the spirit of the Bible. For you to search the Scriptures yourself. For you to understand who you are from the Bible. What you believe, the day we're living in, everything which we claim and speak of in this church, we need to take it back to the Scriptures as individuals to search these things out so that we make sure that we're able, like Paul says, to be able to give an account of the hope that is within us. When somebody asks, when somebody challenges you, you want to be able to give an account yourself from the Word as to why we believe what you believe. If you speak about serpent seed, it's not enough if somebody challenges you to say, Brother Branham said there were serpent seed. No. Or my dad said there's serpent seed. No, that's not enough.
Yes.
You need to be able to go back to the Scriptures.
Yes.
And trace the Scriptures through so that you know why you believe there's a serpent seed. Now friends, it might sound simple, but this is a big lack in this current generation of people that are coming in this world. Is people don't dig down anymore. People don't spend time to research, to spend time to study, to really dig into something. You know, it's one of those ages now where it's an instant society. Everything's got to be done quick. Now we want instant meals, and we want, you know, we don't want to read the full volume. We want the summary. Now we want the quick sound bites. We want to just put skim over the surface of things. But as a believer, you're never going to get far like that.
Amen.
That's going to find you out quickly down the way. Because the devil's going to quickly work you out.
Amen.
And he's going to know that you don't really believe.
Amen.
You don't really know why you're saying these things.
Amen.
And when you meet him face to face in the battlefield, you've got to make sure you've got on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
And part of the whole armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's got to be something that when the devil confronts you, just as much as you have the shield of faith, to block the enemy when he wants to shoot his fiery darts, but you've got to have at your disposal the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
To be able to answer back the way that the Lord Jesus Christ answered back. And the key to this is knowing how to read your Bible. So I really thought today just to take some time to speak about some of the principles of how should you read your Bible? How can we make this Bible become something which it used to be in the lives of people, or it is in the lives of other people? How can you take the Bible? How can we approach this book the right way? Because friends, this book is powerful. This book will overcome anything. This book has every answer that you need. It has every speck of wisdom that you're ever going to need. It's got every piece of advice that you're ever going to need. It has everything that you need is in this Bible. You know, you find that God, when he speaks of his own word, now he doesn't put it in any uncertain terms. In Hebrews, when he says, the word of God is quick and powerful. Yeah? So the Bible, the word of God is quick. It's a quickening power. And it's powerful. Just the Bible itself. If you get into the Bible in the right spirit, it's going to quicken you. It's going to give you power. No, the Bible is quick. It's powerful. Just the Bible. Take in the Bible. Now, friends, we have such a privilege in this age. People say, what is the message? Now, the message is an end time commentary. It's God's end time commentary. So God sends us the message to shine light upon the scriptures pertaining to this age. So that's what the message is. But any commentary doesn't have much use unless you have the source material. If you're reading a commentary on the Bible, you know, it's showing it's to do with the Bible. You've got to have the commentary and you've got to have the Bible. So when you take the message will never do us much good without the Bible. Because the message is the restoration. It's shining light upon the word. It's shining light upon those portions of the word that pertain to the end time. And that's why we believe we're living in the end time, because of the way that God has manifested these things. But friends, the Bible to many, many people, it's not the friend that it should be. And it's not the companion that it should be. We're so busy with other things. We're so busy with YouTube. We're so busy with Twitter. We're so busy with Facebook. You know, we're so busy, our minds dashing here and dashing there, that to really sit down and to really focus on something, to really concentrate on something until we really get into the spirit of the Bible, it's not an easy thing now. But you and I need that. We need discipline. Just like any soldier in any conflict, you've got to be disciplined. That's one of the first things they're going to teach you when you get in the army. They're going to take you to boot camp. And at boot camp, what do they teach you? It's discipline. They're going to tell you when to get up in the morning. They're going to tell you when you brush your teeth. They're going to tell you when you sleep at night. They're going to tell you when you eat your meals. They're going to tell you how far you need to run. And they're going to tell you how high you need to climb. And they're going to get you in a situation that you're disciplined. You know, when the conditions are there, the order comes forth, it's natural, you just react. You obey. You work according to the system that's there. And God wants us to be soldiers of the cross. And that means we're going to have discipline. And one of the most important things we need discipline upon is prayer. And the other one is getting in the word, is reading the scriptures. These are things that we really need discipline to do. When they ask the prophet, we said many times in questions and answers, how can I get closer to God? Like we said many times, that's a simple question. But it's very profound. Because every single one of us today could ask the same question. We would desire that. Who here wouldn't want to be closer to the Lord? But he didn't answer in some big complicated way. He said, that's simple. Read your Bible more and pray more. Amen. It's simple. Amen. Now friends, the devil knows that as well. Amen. Now that's why this conflict is going to try to keep us away from that. He's going to try to keep you out of the spirit of prayer. He's going to try to keep you out of the spirit of the word. And both of those, either of those, when he managed to overcome you in that aspect of your life, you're going to start to struggle now spiritually. Amen. Now you're going to find it's not easy to overcome temptation. Now it's not easy to overcome peer pressure. It's not easy to overcome the conditions of the day that surround us. But friends, God has given us an unchangeable method of overcoming. And the prophet hit it on the head. Is the word. God has given us his word. The prophet in the message, how can I overcome? I mean, even the title of the message, how can I overcome? He says, remember, Jesus showed us how it's done. Amen. You know, so if Jesus used a certain approach, Jesus never used any of his great gifts to overcome. Yes. He never used any resource that isn't given to us to overcome. Jesus showed us how to overcome. He humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, came in flesh and blood and walked amongst us, and then used exactly the same resources as we have to overcome the devil, so he could show us in turn, as we follow in his footsteps, how we in our turn can overcome. So he showed us how it's done. 40 days of temptation, tempted above any man, he showed us how it's done. How did he do it? By the word.
Amen.
By the word.
Amen.
Friends, Jesus loved the scriptures.
Amen.
You will see it because we saw it on Friday night at prayer meeting. Even when he's on the cross, he's quoting the scriptures.
Amen.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22. You know, when he's there, everything Jesus would say, you'd find it was soaked in the scriptures.
Yes.
But he'd be speaking it as if it was himself. He so associated himself, got himself such in the spirit of the word, that it doesn't matter how deep the depth of anguish he was in. They just nailed his hands and feet to the cross, the agony, the pain, the spiritual torment he's going through. But he's in the scriptures. He's praying, and he's praying the scriptures. He's in the spirit of the word. And that's where he got the power from. And if you go and look at the Lord Jesus Christ, it's incredible how he used scripture.
Yes.
You know, there were scriptures that you and I would never, ever have taken as words of comfort. Jesus reads the story of Jonah. 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale. And Jesus sees himself there.
Yes.
And Jesus gets encouragement for the resurrection.
Amen.
Jesus takes from that scripture and says,
amen,
just as Jonah was 3 days and nights, so shall the Son of Man be.
Amen.
And he'll be able to get himself into scriptures, which you and I would see as like obscure. We wouldn't see ourselves in those scriptures, but he'd be able to see himself in those scriptures. They would come to him so many times about different things. And Jesus would bring up scriptures that you and I would say, but hey, how did he know that scripture to apply it in that situation?
Amen.
That's what it is when you're in the Spirit.
Amen.
That is the sword of the Spirit. That's when, you know, you've been in the Word, and then the Spirit now can quicken that Word when you need it.
Amen.
And it can bring to your remembrance exactly what you need to face up to that current situation. But in order to be in that condition, you've got to have had time yourself.
Yes.
When Jesus would get up early in the morning and go out and pray by himself, when he'd spend all nights. You can imagine Jesus being in the Word as well. That's why as soon as he comes to the temple, he opens Isaiah. Yeah? And he finds the scripture pertaining to himself. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. This day the scripture is fulfilled. That's powerful, friends. When you can see yourself in the scripture. When you know that scripture is for me. That scripture applies to me. That's not just normal skimming the surface Bible reading. That's a person who's got into the spirit of Bible reading. That's a person who's got to the stage that you've got to an intimacy with the scriptures that you're reading. So there's got to be some way for us to be able to do that. And now we will have a look at that, just some of the principles maybe which could help us. So the prophet says 40 days of temptation, but by God's word he overcame.
Amen.
Satan made 3 major assaults. So he was attacked in 3 ways. One was the lusts of the flesh. Turn these stones into bread. That's like us when you struggle with lust. When we struggle with, you know, the things when we started to grow up now. When our bodies are starting to develop and there's certain feelings and certain things that we need to overcome. That's the lust of the flesh. There's a desire of the flesh. It wants to express itself contrary to the word of God. Now we're going to need some way to bring that, have dominion over that. So we don't spoil our testimony. You know, so that we don't make shipwreck of our faith along the way because of the lust of the flesh. Then he comes to him and says, cast yourself from the pinnacle of the temple. What is that? That was the pride of life. Being a show of showing yourself to be something. Look at me, what I can do. There's going to be pride that we're going to have to overcome. And then he shows him the kingdoms of the world. And says, all of these I'll give them to you if you'll bow down and serve me. What's that? The lust of the eye. You see, the lust of the eye, desiring covetousness, desiring those kind of things. That, you know, making money is more important than being in the house of God. You know, making money is more important than your spiritual walk before the Lord. Your career is more important than your spiritual calling and election. There's going to be kingdoms in conflict. It's going to come like that. The devil's going to meet you in those, you know, crossroads in life. When there's this great offer being made to you. But for you to accept that offer, it's going to be at the expense of your spiritual calling. It's going to be at the expense of, you know, what it is that God is trying to do inside of your life. And just as much as Jesus was offered those things, but he overcame. How did he overcome? He overcame with the word.
Yes.
Every one of these situations, he overcame it with the word.
Yes.
That's how he overcame it. Friends, that's powerful.
Amen.
The word is a powerful thing. Amen. Never underestimate the power of the word. Because the word is God.
Yes.
That's the powerful thing. What else about the word? It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light unto my path.
Amen.
If you're in a dark place inside of your life, it's good to go and ask other people to pray for you. It's good to go and ask other people's advice. But friend, the best place you're going to find light is in the scripture.
Amen.
Because thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Amen.
When you can get in a communion with God in his word, and he can speak to you from his word and show you in the Bible someone exactly in your situation.
Amen.
Show you exactly and show you exactly the next step that you need to take. Friends, it's one of the most powerful things that you'll ever experience.
Yes, yes, yes.
When God gets so close to you and you get so close to him, that God communes with you, his personal, personal mind concerning the scripture. When God is revealing personally to you. Oh, friends, that's where you want to live your life. Because that's the place of power. When we say in your presence, that's where I'm strong. That's the place where you're strong. When you keep your life, you keep your soul in that kind of an atmosphere.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, you're going to be quite a hard morsel for the devil to chew on. You know, it's not going to be easy for him to do that. What did David say in Psalm 119 verse 9? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? So how can a young man cleanse his way? How can you young men, young women walk clean lives? Live sanctified lives? He says, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word.
Amen.
That's how.
Amen.
By taking heed thereunto unto thy word.
Amen.
So it shows Jesus says to his disciples, he says, you are sanctified by the truth.
Yes. Yes.
He had separated them. He had sanctified them. He had prepared them to be filled as vessels to be used on the day of Pentecost. How?
Amen.
With his word.
Yes.
Jesus with his word, while they were communing with him, fellowshipping with Jesus, the power of the word was sanctifying them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Allowing them to live clean lives.
Amen.
Allowing them to live godly lives.
Amen.
Friends, there's power of sanctification in the word. I've said it many times before. How many times have you come to church, you put on a message, whatever. You go to fellowship with somebody. You're troubled in your thoughts. Maybe there's uncleanness in your mind. Maybe there's unholy desire inside of your body. There's some temptation at college, some temptation in your neighborhood, whatever it is. Yeah, and you're struggling with that. Then you get yourself into the house of the Lord. Then you get into song worship.
Amen.
And then the word comes and washes you.
Amen.
Or you get into fellowship with somebody, spiritual fellowship. And in that fellowship, his presence comes down.
Amen.
And it delivers you.
Amen.
And you leave, then you're sanctified once again.
Amen.
You have dominion once again over something that wanted to have dominion over you.
Amen.
That's the power of the word.
Amen.
That's the power of the spoken word in its simplicity.
Amen.
Fellowshipping in the spirit around the word of God. It'll sanctify you. It'll clean you. And that's what David was saying as well to young people. How do you clean, keep yourself clean in the way? Paying heed thereon unto thy word.
Amen.
The word is so sure. Everything else will change. Things will change in your health. Things will change in your wealth. Things will change in your career. Things will change in your family.
Amen.
But heaven and earth will pass away. But my words will never pass away. It's an immovable rock.
Amen.
This is something that if you build yourself upon it, it's so sure a foundation.
Yes, amen.
It's so sure a foundation,
amen.
God's word. You just wonder, it makes me understand why the devil so much fights against the Bible.
Yes, that's right.
He hates the Bible. It's pseudoscience of this age, trying to say this, that, and the other, and trying to disprove this and that. And they try to use the age of this and age of that to disprove the Bible. Friends, they say that the Bible is an anvil that's worn out the hammers of many a critic. You'll wear out your hammer on this anvil of the Bible. You'll think that you know better, but when you're dead and buried in the grave and people have forgotten your philosophies and forgotten your worldly ideas and science has moved on to its next theory, God's word is just the same. God's word is the same word that Paul stood on. We're standing on it today. This word never changes. The same word that delivered Peter from the prison house. The same word that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. It's the same word that we've got. It's exactly the same word. And it'll do the same to us if we'll approach it the way they approached it. That's where the key comes in. And that's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So let's have a look at maybe just some advice about 7 points about how to read the Bible. No, because I think some young people, they got frustrated as well because, you know, they, like I said, take their Bible, just randomly open it, or they try to do different ways of studying the Bible. And you find that the Bible, friends, it's not a, it's a complicated book.
Yes.
It's not just a simple book, the Bible. You know, if you're going to open your Bible randomly and you open to some genealogy in the book of Nehemiah, it's not going to be very interesting reading if you're in the midst of temptation. So you really need grace in which portions of the scripture you're going to read. You've got to find something which pertains to yourself, to your situation. That's why the very first principle when approaching the Bible is read and pray.
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
Because friends, when you're approaching the Bible, you're approaching God.
Amen.
So this isn't something we just approach like any other book.
Amen.
This is the Holy Bible.
Yes.
This is like Moses now. Now, if you're approaching God, he approached God in a burning bush. We're approaching God in his word.
Amen.
It's the same God we're approaching.
Amen.
Therefore, we need to take off our shoes.
Yes.
We need to realize this is holy ground.
Amen.
That's why you should never put something on top of your Bible.
Amen.
This is supreme. This is on top of everything.
Amen.
You should never mishandle your Bible.
Amen.
Or let people, children play around with your Bible. No, 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 no. This is God in print form.
Amen.
This is potentially God expressed inside of your life.
Amen.
God has hidden himself inside of here. Because the word is God.
Amen.
So the way that you would approach God, if you said, I really want to speak to the Lord and I want him to speak to me. How would you approach God? You would come reverently. You would come respectfully.
Amen.
Now, friends, we agree with just about nothing in Islam. But one principle I like, before they read the Quran, they wash their hands.
Amen.
I quite like that. Now, it doesn't mean we have to wash our hands when we read the Bible, but spiritually speaking, we should wash our hands.
Amen.
The priests in the tabernacle, before they came to serve the Lord, they washed themselves at the laver. They washed any defilement they'd picked up from their pilgrimage, and then they would go into the presence of God to do service. And that's why so many times you approach the Bible, you get nothing from it. Because you're not approaching it the right way. Because this is a spiritual book.
Amen.
This isn't just a natural book. This is a spiritual book.
Amen.
Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
So you're going to have to get yourself in a certain spiritual condition for this book to help you.
Yes.
If you're just in the flesh, this book isn't going to help you.
Amen.
It's just going to confuse you more. Because it's a spiritual book.
Amen.
And that's what Paul picked up straight away. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you can put it up for us there, please, sister. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. Let's read just a couple of scriptures about what the Bible says about the scriptures. Like I say, nothing complicated. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So this book, the potential is here, this book will make you wise unto salvation.
Amen.
This book is a lamp unto your feet. It's going to light the path to salvation. Light the path to divine healing. Light the path to deliverance. Light the path to whatever that you need. That's the potential that's in this book. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
So the only way we're going to benefit from it is by inspiration.
That's right.
Amen.
If this Bible was given by inspiration, the only way we can receive it, because it's not the ink on the page that's going to help us,
yes,
but it's the inspiration that gave the word that's going to help us.
Amen.
And that's a very spiritual thing. And that's why any time you approach the Bible the right way, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have a spiritual experience.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You have the potential every time you open your Bible to have a spiritual experience. Because God is going to speak to you.
Yes.
How can God speak and you not be a spiritual experience? When the Spirit gets into the Word and speaks to you, why do you think you feel edified having read the Bible? Why do you think you feel cleansed having read the Bible? You've had a spiritual experience. God has dealt with you. God has granted you an audience. You've approached the great King in His Word. And He's spoken to you from His Word. Oh, friends. It's so simple. But it's so powerful. If you do it the right way. That's why it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. So at times we need to be profited by doctrine. For reproof. Sometimes we need warning. To say, don't marry that unbeliever. Don't let your children play around with the children of the world. Yeah? The things which the Bible speaks to us about. So it's profitable for reproof. So certain times the Scripture is going to speak to us in that kind of a way. For correction. Oh, friends. We all need to be corrected.
Amen.
Get back in line. That's a correction. Return to your first love. That's a correction. All these kind of things. Depending on our condition, we're going to need these things to speak to us. For instruction in righteousness. Ah, friends, we all need instruction in righteousness. How are we going to be righteous unless He instructs us in the way that we can be righteous? But the Bible is profitable for all of these things. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, complete. Everything that you need to fulfill the divine purpose, you have it in your experience now. You have it in your armory. You have all the resources that you need to fulfill your calling. That's what the Scriptures can do to you. Can bring you to a place that you are perfect. Not moral perfection. We're not speaking about that. But perfection in God's preparation in your life. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So where do we get the things that furnish us unto good works? From the Scriptures. Inside of here, this is going to equip you. This is going to furnish all that you need so that you can do the good works that you are ordained that you should walk therein. It's all inside of the Scriptures, all inside of the Word. It's a serious thing, the Bible. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Just now on this approach. So the Bible, it can minister everything that we need, but it's a spiritual book. Yeah, you might say, but why are you saying that? Because a lot of people seem to forget that.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual book. There's no other book like the Bible.
Amen.
There's no other book. They may teach you at school that the Quran is the Word of God. It's not true.
Yeah, that's right.
God is not confused. God doesn't have one word and then He changes His word 700 years later. He doesn't. This is God's eternal, unchanging word. This is the same word that Jesus believed. It's the same word that Isaiah believed. Same word that Moses believed. Same word that Peter, Paul, up to John the Beloved. The last of the disciples. It's the same word. And that's what we believe. That's what you believe. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now, 2 verse 12. Not 12 verse 2. Sister, if you do 2 verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God.
Amen.
That we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. So for us to know the things that God has given us, we need to get in the spirit.
Amen.
Because He has to reveal these things to us.
Amen.
Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches.
Amen.
Now, the most profitable fellowship you'll ever give to somebody or have with somebody is when they speak the things which the Holy Ghost taught them.
Amen.
That's what Paul's saying. We speak the things which the Holy Ghost taught
Amen.
Us. That's powerful, friends. If you don't know what else to fellowship with, tell people what the Holy Ghost has told you.
Amen.
If you don't know what to speak to somebody when you're visiting them, what has God spoken to you?
Yes.
Amen.
Tell them what God has spoken to you.
Right.
There's great instruction in that.
Amen.
He says, not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So Jesus would look at the temple and he'd look at himself. And he'd say, destroy this temple. I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they said, but it was 49 years building this temple. And you say, you can build it up. He's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen. He's looking at Jonah in the Bible. Amen. 3 days. And Jesus now comparing because he's in the spirit. He's now getting instruction, getting encouragement. His path, his purpose is becoming more clear. Because he says, I'm greater than Jonah's here. He can see himself in those things. Comparing spiritual. That's why the prophet was a typologist. Yes. Comparing one thing with another. Comparing the Old Testament with the New. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the key verse, verse 14. But the natural man, the carnal man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Yes. So when you're carnal and you're in the flesh, your Bible's not going to help your speck.
Yes.
You're wasting your time reading the Bible when you're in the flesh. It's not going to help you. You're just going to accumulate knowledge.
Yes.
Knowledge puffs up. That's all you're going to do. You're just going to get head knowledge. You've got to be in the spirit of it first.
Amen.
You've got to get approach it spiritually. It says, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. This Bible is foolishness to the scientists of this age. Dawkins and Hawkins and all of these guys. To them, they hate this Bible. They hate it. Why? Because they're carnal. Their hatred of God's word testifies how carnal they are. But let me, you know it from your own experience. The deeper you get in the spirit, the more spiritual, the more prayed up you are, the more you love the Bible.
Amen.
You love your Bible.
Amen.
When you're in the spirit, you can spend the whole week on one page.
Amen.
You can just be feeding your soul, hidden manna, the whole week on one page.
Yes. Amen.
But when you're out of the spirit, friends, Brad Crosby once phoned me. And he said, bro, he said, ah, sometimes it's hard. He says, when you need to preach, he says, when you get out of the spirit, but it seems the Bible is so thin. You're trying to find the text and it's, but hey, I can't find anything here to preach. But when you're in the spirit, the Bible's big.
Amen.
It's rich. It's a 7-course meal.
Amen.
Ah, friends, it's all that you need. But it just depends on your spiritual condition. That's going to determine how you look at the word. Same as when you come to the house of the Lord, when you're out of the spirit, friends, it's a grievance coming to church. Oh, you'll be looking at your watch saying, I hope he's not going to push one of those long ones again. Looks like he's enjoying himself a bit too much up there today. I think we're going to be here for a while. But when you're in the spirit, friend, you don't want to go home. You want to stay when the service is finished. You want to stay in his presence. Because in his presence, that's where I belong. In his presence, that's where I am strong. That's where you want to be. So it really testifies of your spiritual condition. Your attitude towards his word shows you the current spiritual condition that you're in. If you used to love the Bible, you don't love it anymore. Repent. Return to your first love. Remember from whence thou hast fallen. You've fallen from somewhere. You had a certain spiritual height. You used to love the word. Now you don't love the word anymore. Oh, friends, your own spiritual experience is testifying against you. And the best thing when the word testifies against you, just plead guilty. Just plead guilty and humble yourself and say, Lord, take me back. Take me back. Take me back to how it was when I first received you. How much you used to love your Bible. Oh, friends, when it was break time at college or break time at school or lunchtime at work, you'd have your Bible. You'd be loving your Bible. But now what is it? It's Facebook. Yeah? Google News. Those things have their place in a measure. They don't satisfy your soul. They don't equip you. They don't furnish you. They don't empower you. They don't quicken you. They don't enlighten your path. They don't do any of those things for you. Those things are the attributes given to his word. It's his word that does all of these things for us. That's why we need to be in the word. He says they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. The natural man, if you haven't been born again, if you don't have a restored relationship with Christ, when you're not living in that realm where you can commune with Christ in your soul, the Bible means nothing to you. Your eyes are blind, are darkened to the understanding of the word. This is the reserve of those who can walk in the Spirit. Amen. Those who are reconciled. Those who are in fellowship and harmony and communion with Christ. That's what he's speaking about. He says, because they are spiritually discerned. So to discern and to understand the word, these things are spiritually discerned. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus.
Amen.
How Jesus, you would take things from here and here and here and piece them together. Ha! And apply them to himself, apply them to a situation. You'll say, but why? Because he was the word.
Amen.
And that's how he overcame every single situation. What about 2 Peter 1? Let's read one more before we get on to some of these points. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Peter said in his words, remember, I'd like to stir you up.
Amen.
Yeah? Stir you up by way of remembrance. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Peter says, knowing this first,
Amen.
That no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Amen.
Now, friends, you've got thousands and thousands of churches and denominations. What caused that? Private interpretation.
Amen.
Private interpretation. What we want is vindicated interpretation.
Amen.
If somebody is going to come on the scene and tell us about water baptism, we're going to be real happy when the author has his picture taken with him. When the pillar of fire comes down and his picture taken with the one who's coming to teach us about water baptism, I'm going to have some confidence now in that. When I search the scriptures now, I'm going to find there's a correlation now. You know, this is now being spiritually discerned. No private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. This book is not the product of man's will. It wasn't man who sat down and said, let me write a song. Let me write a prophecy. Let me write a poem. Let me write a history. No, that's not. All other books started like that. They're the product of man's will. But this book is the product of God's will. This is the expression of God's will.
Amen.
That's the difference between it. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God. Oh, sanctified, consecrated, specially prepared vessels, prophets, that God could come and totally take over and speak through them. Yeah? It says, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That literally means like a current rolling along a boulder. You've been borne along by something. The Spirit would come upon them. Like on Isaiah, he would get in the Spirit, he'd speak. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And then the prophet says again, proving his word, notice. After he said that, he said, now, how can that be? I imagine Isaiah, the embarrassment, when he heard God say, I'll give them a sign, a virgin shall conceive. He went after and says, but how did I say that a virgin's going to conceive? How can a virgin conceive? And bring forth the son and his name's going to be called Emmanuel. He didn't even understand it himself. The prophets, when the anointing, the Holy Ghost would so fill them, God would breathe through them. That's why the scripture says all scripture is God breathed. That's what it literally means. God spoke through them. He didn't allow anything of man there. Because this is his will. This is his word that he wants to be expressed. So you can imagine how spiritual this book is. So do you think, friends, you and I can just come with our unholy life, unconsecrated walk, and just come back from college where we've been joking, saying things that aren't right, and then you come and you, okay, I think I need to read my, you think you're going to receive much from your Bible? You're not going to receive much. The only thing you're going to receive from there is correction, is condemnation and conviction. Because when you're sitting there and you're starting to fall asleep while you're reading your Bible, it's going to testify against you. But to really, really get benefit from the Bible, there's got to be a holy walk.
Amen.
So during the day, if you're watching over yourself, during the day, if you're prayerful, during the day, before you come to your time of reading the scripture, you've already inside of your heart been preparing yourself.
Amen.
You're saying, Lord, I need to hear from you. My soul is thirsty. Lord, I'm hungry for you. Lord, I don't know what to do here. Lord, I need nourishment within the veil. And then you're coming and you're shutting yourself in. And if you really want to study your Bible, turn off your phone.
Amen.
Turn off your phone.
Amen.
Because the moment you start getting in the spirit, beep, 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 somebody's going to send you a WhatsApp. Amen. Imagine if you were speaking to God. Yeah. Imagine you had an audience with Jesus himself.
Amen.
And you're before him and Jesus is starting to speak, to explain things to you inside your life. Then your phone goes beep, beep, and say, sorry, Jesus, let me leave you for a little bit. And you go and you read your text message. It's more important than hearing what Jesus has to say. Oh, friends, that's a serious thing.
Amen.
But that should be our approach surely to the word.
Amen.
That's why you find the Jews, how they would cover their heads, you know, the men. And how they would take those scrolls and they would read them. I've seen them at the airports when you're flying around. My, the way they approach that word, and afterwards, the way they'll put it back into that box, whatever thing it is, in the synagogues, and they protect those scrolls. And when they're copying those scrolls, they've got all these laws to count how many letters and vowels to make sure they keep it exactly the way that it was in the beginning.
Amen.
That's how much they respect the written word.
Amen.
Oh, friends, we have more than the written word.
Amen.
We have the revealed word. So how much should we respect this revealed word? But that's the approach that we should have. So this prophecy, it didn't originate from these people. Therefore, the interpretation's not man's interpretation. It wasn't a person writing his opinion so we can go and ask him, okay, Isaiah, what are you meaning here? Isaiah will tell you, I don't even know. I don't know what that means. I don't know when that's going to take place. I was just moved by the Holy Ghost to say that. That's God's word, friends.
Amen.
So you and I are going to have to be in a certain spiritual dimension, be able to fellowship with that type of word.
Amen.
That's something which has come forth. My, it's quite a thing. The prophet says in Church Ages, page 44, he says, all too many read the Bible. In Acts 2, verse 38, where it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they just pass right on. You see? Now, you just read what the scripture says. You've just taken it at a surface level, and then you pass on. That scripture will never activate itself.
Amen.
That scripture will never have any effect. Amen. That scripture will never do anything. You can't just read the scripture and pass on. No. He says they don't see it. So you've read the scripture, but you haven't really seen it.
Amen.
That's why all those scribes would come to Jesus and say, but it's written in the law, this and that. And Jesus would say to them, did you not know? Remember they came to Jesus when his disciples, when they plucked corn on the Sabbath day. According to the law of according to tradition, not the law. Now, if you plucked corn, it was threshing. You weren't allowed to do it on the Sabbath. That was man's tradition. So Jesus now is walking through the fields with his disciples. They're hungry. They've been about the Master Father's business. They eat corn. They come and say, but hey, how can you eat corn? It's written. And Jesus straight to the scripture.
Amen.
He says, do you not know that it's written? How readest thou that David, when he was in trouble, he went to the temple and ate the showbread that's only for the priests.
Amen.
He just was going to get a scripture from there, from history.
Yeah.
And he would apply it straight into his situation like that.
Amen.
My. So, son, do you not know that it's written in the law that the priests on the Sabbath, they profane the Sabbath, they carry things, they do things in the service of God, and they're not breaking the Sabbath?
Amen.
And then he points him to a third scripture, I think Micah. He says, it'll be good for you to understand what it says. I require mercy, yeah, and not judgment and whatever. You just read that one portion of scripture and Jesus has taken three different portions of the Old Testament and put it directly to them as his situation. But for him to be able to take that word and find himself in those scriptures like that, that shows this was somebody who loved the word. This was someone who was in the spirit of the word. This was someone who fed upon the word. This was somebody who really, really didn't use the Bible, misuse the Bible, but he used the Bible the way that it should be used. The prophet says they don't see it. If they saw that scripture, by getting in the Spirit, they would know if they want to receive the Holy Ghost,
yes,
they need to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Then God will be duty bound to fulfill his word by filling them with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They never get in his Spirit. Or it would happen to them exactly as the word says.
Amen.
So the way we know we've got in the Spirit is when that word does what it says to us.
Amen.
Maybe it'll comfort you. Maybe it'll encourage you. Maybe it'll quicken you. Maybe it'll deliver you.
Amen.
But that's how you know you're in the Spirit, when you're reading the word.
Amen.
Because that word will now do what it said.
Amen.
That portion of the scripture that you're reading, you're now in fellowship with God. He now keeps that portion of the word. Because you've approached it in the spirit. You've approached the word the right way. He says, let me use another illustration. Suppose you need healing. What does the word say? Well, we have all read it countless times. Yeah? When we seek, we read Isaiah 53 countless times. And sometimes nothing happens. Doesn't mean Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed, is wrong. No. We haven't got into the spirit of it. And to the young people, that's where it is. To understand this message, you've got to get into the spirit of it.
Amen.
You find there's people that have questions about, did Brother Branham really fulfill Malachi 4? Yeah? Questions like that. You know the problem is, we've heard things from our husbands, we've heard things from the pastor, but we've never taken the Bible ourselves humbly before the Lord and said, Lord, teach me.
Amen.
Teach me. Everybody's saying this about this man that he fulfilled Malachi 4. Teach me.
Amen.
Then he'll lead you now to read about John the Baptist. A man from the wilderness. Outside of the systems of his day. Then he will lead you now to what Jesus said. Elijah shall first come and restore all things. Then Elijah shall come. He'll turn the hearts of the children to the Father. Then you'll start going reading about Elijah on Mount Carmel. And you know, God vindicating him before all those pagan priests. And then you'll go and take the ministry of the prophet in this age and you'll find out comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You will now know that this day the scriptures fulfilled. And all the devils in hell will never move you from that. Because now you received it by revelation. Personal revelation, not second-hand revelation. Not that somebody told you that was true, but God told you that it was true. And that's the basis that we need, friends. Because there's a conflict. There's a contest going on. There's an enemy who hates your soul. There's an enemy who wants to spoil you. Wants to destroy you. And he's going to meet you at that point of weakness. And God has given us the armor. The spirit and the word. And we need to use both portions. Bring these two things together. Then it doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter. You'll stand face to face, nose to nose with the devil. Like Jesus did. And you will say, it's written. And like Brother Madison said, when you say it with authority, the devil hears. But you can't say it with authority unless you received it with authority. You needed to get in the spirit of it so that it was spoken to you with an authority. Then you go with that same authority and you speak it to the devil and you transfer that authority onto him. Because you're in the spirit of the scriptures. You're in the spirit of the word. Friends, it might sound simple what I'm saying, but all of us know as believers, it's not that easy. Sometimes you need to fast. When you find your mind is out of control, when you find your body wants to take control, yeah, your flesh is too active, has too much preeminence, and you want to put it subject. And you want to humble yourself before the Lord to seek his face. You know, there's got to be some earnestness, some sincere seeking in these things. That's why you read in the book of Proverbs when he says, you know, when Solomon speaks about wisdom. And it says, if you seek her as precious treasure. It says, I'm wisdom. If you seek me like precious jewels, as precious treasure, then I will be found of you.
Amen.
You know, it needs a certain earnestness inside of your soul. A certain, you know, spiritual approach and saying, Lord, I need to hear from you. Speak to me, Lord. Our friends. And that'll make you set time apart for the Lord.
Amen.
And you'll never take the worst of the sacrifice, yeah? Your sacrifice with blemish and give it to the Lord. You know, the end of the day when you're tired, oh, I think I better read my Bible. Yeah? No. You don't give the worst sacrifice. You give the best sacrifice. You give the choice offering to the Lord. The best time of your day. When you've got vigor. When you've got clarity in your understanding. When you've got power to pray. When you've got time to wait upon him.
Amen.
As far as you possibly can. You give him the best portion of your day. Amen. And see how God will respect that.
Amen.
And that 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, what it is. You can be like Elijah. You can go in the strength of that meat for 40 days journey.
Amen.
With what God speaks to you once in that spiritual realm. That can sustain you for days and days.
Amen.
Because you've been communing with God.
Amen.
You've been fellowshipping with God. Amen. So the prophet says, yes, we have all read it countless times, the scripture. Amen. But we did not get in the spirit when reading it. Did we ask God for his spirit to teach us the real truth of it?
Amen.
That's why we should pray before. No, we pray before we eat our food.
Yes.
What about our spiritual food?
Amen.
Surely we should pray. Say, Lord, speak to me. And when something you're starting to read and you're starting to find it has a little bit of life, put your soul up to the Lord again. Lord, what does this really mean? Lord, what are you trying to say to me here? Lord, unveil this to me. Admit me into the real, what is that word that Paul says? Discernment. The spiritually discern. Let me spiritually discern what you're trying to say to me here, Lord. And you all think maybe it's not important. But friend, when God speaks to you, there's a purpose.
Amen.
Generally speaking, he's equipping you for a conflict to come.
Amen.
He's giving you something now that you're going to need down there.
Yes. Amen.
So if you're not going to pay attention now, you're not going to be fully equipped in the day of battle.
Amen.
You're not going to be able to stand in the day of battle like Ephesians 6 says. Having put on the whole armor of God. No, he wants to equip us before the time. Wants to prepare us before the time. So that when the conflict comes on, we have what it takes by the grace of God. So we need to pray before we read the scriptures. Because the word, Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And now, I'll just say a few things I wrote down here about when you read the Bible, this is what it can be. I already said it. A spiritual experience. And that's true. The prophet says that the woman came to the prophet, that sister, and said, Brother Bram, I wish I could see visions like you do. He says, sister, you don't have to be like me to see visions. He said, every time I open my Bible, I see a vision.
Amen.
That's our realm of seeing visions many yes. times. This is God's vision. When you get in the Spirit, God can show you visions from his word. So it's a spiritual experience. Reading the scriptures the right way, it's a divine visitation.
Amen.
It's a divine visitation. God has visited you. Through his word.
Amen.
It's a transforming experience.
Amen.
Because the Bible is the power of transformation.
Amen.
And as we look into the image of his glory, yeah, the reflection of his glory, we changed into the same glory, the yes. Bible says. That's the power of his word. When you get in the spirit of his word, it changes us to be like him. When we read the scripture the right way, it's an edifying experience. It feeds you. It builds you up. You're eating nourishing food. You're eating the finest of the wheat. Yeah? You're eating bread that came down from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he's not going to hunger anymore. Oh, friends, I'm hungry for more of this bread. I'm hungry for that. It's an equipping experience. Like I said, this will equip you for the conflict. This will equip you today for what you need to face up to tomorrow.
Amen.
This is God ministering his resources that now that you're going to need down the way.
Amen.
And you're going to meet somebody down the way and the Spirit's going to quicken what you read yesterday. Quicken it. You didn't even know why it was quickened to yesterday, but it was needed for this person tomorrow.
Amen.
And then you will see that God is Jehovah Jireh. He sees before time.
Amen.
He provides ahead of time. He makes a provision for himself. He wants to minister to his people. It's an equipping experience. It's a delivering experience many times. So many times we've been in bondage, friends. So many times we've been in affliction. So many times we've been in trouble. So many times we've been in mental anguish, mental torment, confusion, frustration. And what is God's method of delivering us? His word. It comes to us and says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And it sets you free. Oh, it's a serious thing, the Bible. You're putting on the armor of deliverance. And it's an enlightening experience. Enlightening. When you're in darkness, you don't know what to do next. You're confused about your life. You're confused about decisions that you need to make. The best thing that you can do, get in the Word. Because thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Then he shows you the next step. He's not going to show you all the way over the hill. But you just hold the lamp one step at a time and it shows
Amen.
You the next step. You just keep following the path and you get to the destination in the end.
Amen.
But it's an enlightening experience when you get inside of the scripture. He does something to us. It's a quickening experience. You go and read Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. How many times David speaks about his word quickening him? So many. I'll read one. Psalm 119, verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. How many times he quickens you out of the hand of the enemy? Out of the snare of the fowler. When you were at school and this girl all mess had you, then you came into the house of the Lord and he quickened you out of the hand of the devil. He quickens you. And there's just a little bit of energy, and just when the enemy thought he had you in his paws, he quickens you. Quicken me according to your word. The prophet speaks of the stimulation of revelation of the word. It's like drinking strong wine. Yeah, it's a stimulant, the Bible. It quickens when you don't feel you want to continue on anymore. Get into his presence. Feed on his word. And then you'll be saying, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. It's a stimulating experience, the Bible. There's a quickening effect inside of the word. That's God's word. It's a quickening something. Oh, friends. But how many times do we read the Bible and that doesn't happen to us? Because you're not going about it the right way. The potential is there every time you get in the Bible that happens to you. That's God's desire. He wants to commune with us. So let's skip through the final ones. That was number one, read and pray. The second one, read and meditate.
Amen.
The parable of the sower. What good is it for the good seed? That seed which has power to quicken, that seed that has power to deliver, that seed that has power to heal, that seed that has power to enlighten, if it's sown on rocky ground, what good is it? Now you come to church, you open your Bible, you listen to a message, you fellowship with believers. There's power, there's potential there to deliver you. Yeah? But you only receive so much of it when it's delivered to you. And now, it's up to you. What are you going to do with that word? Or are you going to let the birds of the air, as soon as you get out there and you start speaking about, oh, did he have so-and-so got married? Oh, did he have this and that? Did he have that? Oh, no. And you get all busy and you get home and then, let's turn on YouTube and, oh, look at this. Oh, this is funny. And you have need of God inside of your life at that time, and God has spoken to you and he's given you deliverance in a potential form.
Yes.
But you're not making use of the potential.
Amen.
Now this needs meditation now.
Yes.
This needs you to take the word home with you. You don't just need to leave it in the house of God. You need to take that word home with you.
Amen.
What does Joshua told? Meditate therein day and night.
Yes,
then you shall make your way prosperous. Then no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You need to meditate. If God's spoken something to you, take it down in some form.
Yes.
And then when you leave, don't let that leave you. While the anointing, while the quickening is still on you, get home, get on your knees. Lord, you've spoken to me, but I want to get the full virtue from this visitation that you've given to me. I want this to have an effect inside of my life. And then commune with that word further. You say, where's the example? Let's look in Luke 24, verse 13. Some people are saying it's only on point two. And he said there's seven of them. People are saying, huh? My Sunday roast is going to burn. The prophet says, rather let the roast burn, not you burn. Luke 24, this is the men on the way to Emmaus. Let's just take a simple example from here once again to speak about this issue of how the word unfolds itself. In Luke 24, the brothers are, they need stimulation. They need consolation. They need quickening power. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the word. The word's been crucified. They don't understand what's taking place in the message of the hour. They don't understand what's going on. So, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Now there was no power in their talking together. Because that was man's interpretation. This was man's opinion. God will never vindicate man's opinion.
Amen.
This is what they thought was happening. That's got nothing to do with it. You might look inside of your life and say, I think this is happening because of this, that, and that. That's got nothing to do with it. Amen. There's only one who knows why you're going through what you're going through. Why not go and speak to him about it? You don't need man's interpretation. There's no virtue or power in man's interpretation. It says, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, the brothers were reasoning now. Yeah, I think it must be like, nah, don't be silly. It's like this. No. There's no virtue in that. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now it's going to change. Because now it's not just them. Now it's them and Jesus. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. That happens to us in church. That happens when you open the Bible. We read in the Bible at first, but our eyes are holden. We can't really see what it's saying. When the same, although he's drawn near, you can tell, Lord, you're trying to say something to me here. I can feel it inside of my soul. But you've got to go deeper. You've got to go further with him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? So the word starts to speak to them. But as of yet, they're still confused. And one of them said, whose name was Clopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? You're answering back to the word. Mm. Yeah, it's fine that you preach that, but don't you know my situation?
Yes.
That's what they're doing. Mm. They, to the word, they say, don't you understand? Hey, don't you understand what's going on? He understands what's going on. But they thought that he didn't understand. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yet certain women also of our company made us astonished and were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying, they'd also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. It was all just confusing to them. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Where is he putting the blame? On them. He's saying everything you need is here. He says, not only that, but I've been preaching it to you for 3.5 years. But can you see, they never got into the spirit of it. They never got into a place, a relationship with the word, the way in which the potential was there that they could have got into a relationship. Because Jesus is never going to call you a fool unless you've been foolish. He's never going to call you a fool if you've done all that you can, but you just couldn't make it to the end. But he says, you fools, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses. Friends, that was a Bible study that day. And all the prophets. He went through Jonah. He went through the fiery furnace, I'm sure. He went through Daniel in the lion's den. He went through everyone. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wonderful. But it's still not enough. Because their eyes still haven't been opened. All this truth they've received hasn't changed their situation a bit yet. Hasn't changed. They're still heading away from Jerusalem. They're heading away from the post of duty. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. You see how it is with the word? You've got to desire him, friend. You've got to constrain him. You've got to earnestly desire. Say, Lord, let me know more. That's why he would speak in parables to the people. And then his disciples come and say, Master, teach us the parable. What were you trying to say? Then he would tell them the whole story now. When the people would come to seek when they were at home. And they constrained him, verse 29, saying, abide with us. That's meditation on the word, friends. You're abiding with him. For it is towards evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them at home. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it. Now he broke the bread. Amen. Now he did something that opened their eyes. Amen. And it came to pass, verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us in the way? A burning heart's not enough, friends. It needs your eyes to be opened. Once their eyes were opened, there was a quickening that came. Oh, this all makes sense. This all is, everything's under control. And then because they had caught it in the way that it could be caught, what happened? Verse 33. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And went and encouraged their brethren. Ah, friends, that's why you don't need just to share the word at church. You don't need just to share the word once. When you listen to something and it speaks to your soul, you need to take it home. You need to fellowship with him in the way. You need to constrain him. Come in, Master. Abide with us. Break the bread, Lord. Open my eyes. Let me see and understand why things are the way. And then when that's broken to you, you're never going to be the same. That's the power of transformation. That's the delivering power and so forth. That's how we need to meditate therein day and night. Now, let's get to the third one. We'll skip the last few. So we've looked at read and pray. We need to read prayerfully. The next one is to read and meditate. The next one is to read and apply.
Amen.
What does James say? He says, what good does a man looking in the mirror, you see something's wrong with your tie. You say, hey, there's something wrong with my tie. Then you go out and you forget that you looked in the mirror. And you don't fix your tie. He says, that's like a person who hears the word and doesn't do it.
Yes.
Amen.
When God is speaking to you, it's your day of visitation.
Yes. Amen.
But my spirit will not always strive with man.
Amen.
Every visitation only has a specific season.
Yes.
So when God speaks to you and you don't quickly respond, you don't quickly start to do what he tells you to do, you find gradually that anointing leaves you. And it's that quickening power that comes with the instruction that gives you the power to be able to do what he says that you need to do. So if you don't respond quickly now, if you don't apply that word inside of your own life, if the word has come and said, separate from unbelief.
Hallelujah.
No, the Bible says, a companion of fools will be destroyed. But he that walks with wise men shall be wise.
Amen.
Now to all those people that are here today that have got wrong company, if God is speaking to you, don't hesitate.
Amen.
As soon as you leave here, let there be a purging time in your phone.
Amen.
Let there be a separation in some of your relationships. And then you will see how God will bless you. Because you've taken the word and you've applied it. You haven't just been a forgetful hearer. That you sit in the house of God and say, oh, my heart was burning today in church. And then it does nothing to you in your relationship with people. Then you continue in fornication. You continue in uncleanness. You continue in unbelief. That's not God's will.
Amen.
The Bible says he sent his word and healed them.
Amen.
That's what he wants. He says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Amen.
He wants to break that yoke inside of your life. But you need to respond.
Amen.
You need to apply that word.
Amen.
And if you delay, that anointing leaves.
Right.
And the next week is, oh no, it's good. Like Samson, I think I better now shake myself. And he wist not the Lord had departed from him. Now it was him himself in his own strength. You don't want to be found in that kind of a situation, my friend. The greatest thing that you can have is a pure heart. It's a sensitive heart to the word of God. That you might be like King Josiah in the Bible when they found the scroll of the law that had been lost all those years. And then, you know, whoever it was brought it and read it before Josiah. And he rent his garment straight away.
Amen.
And he humbled himself before God and said, God's wrath is upon us. We haven't been keeping his law. And then the Lord sent the prophet and said, go and speak to him and tell him that I've seen that he's got a soft heart.
Amen.
I've seen the attitude of his heart. Friends, that's what we need. Don't resist the word. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That's what the scripture says. But just lay yourself on the altar. No matter what it is, you need to die to. Say, Lord, I want to die to this. And as long as the desire is there, he will give you the quickening power to empower you to do what he's asking you to do. But you need to respond to his word. You need to apply his word. We don't need to do anything else. You know, the problem is, many of us, the word of God is just threats. That's as far as we've gone with God. You know, the only thing we hear in church is hell, you know, judgment. Don't you want to stay in that kind of a place? You don't want to be applying those kind of scriptures inside of your life. Scriptures of judgment and scriptures of all those things that God... Because God's word is full of scriptures of threatenings, friends. There's threatenings in here. There's judgment inside of here. There's things that he said he will do if you despise his word. And he's just as faithful to fulfill that portion of the word as is his promises. You know, but you want to move into a relationship with him that you move beyond threats and judgment. The brazen altar. And you move into that place now of sacred service where it becomes his promises that he's speaking to you. You know, that it becomes the blessed things of his word. That's really what you're wanting inside of your life. Now, to really apply the word, Martin Luther said something very interesting. I'll read what he said. Martin Luther said, all living religion is in the personal pronouns of the Bible. Now, let me explain that by reading one scripture. Read Isaiah 43, verse 1. Now, let's see what he's trying to say here. And this is where we want to get in the word, each and every one of us.
Amen.
You want to get to you yourself, finding yourself in the personal pronouns in the Bible. That's applying the word. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Now behold, now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob. The sisters were singing. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. You see the personal pronoun. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When you get in the spirit of the word, those portions become real. When it's saying thee, you're feeling it. It's me. It's me. When I walk through the waters, they're not going to overflood me. When I pass through the fire, he's going to be with me. Now you've personally appropriated the promises like the prophet said. And that's where the applying of the word is. When you can find those personal things. That's something that speaks personally to you.
Yes.
Somebody once said, when you read the Bible, read it like two things. Firstly, read it like the will of a beloved relative. If you know there's a rich relative who died and left a will, friend, you're going to read that will to find out what's in here for me. That's what you're going to do. You're going to, that's not for me, that's not. Hey, that's for me. That's for me. That's what reading. This is God's last will and testament. Sealed in his blood. Sealed by an oath. Our friends, we need to find our portion in the will. Say, that's for me. And that same person said, the other way you want to read the Bible is reading a great physician's prescription. Friends, if you're sick, and maybe it's potentially unto death, and you go to a good doctor and he gives you a prescription of what you need to take, you're going to be very diligent.
Amen.
You're going to take that and say, please, I want every portion of this. I want it in every measure the way that it is. And that's how the word should be. When you're reading the word, saying, but Lord, what does your word say? It says, I need to repent. I've repented. I need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't fulfilled that part of the prescription. Therefore, I'm not yet a recipient of eternal life. You know, so you want to read the scripture like it's a prescription. What is required of me? And read it like a will. What is required of him? What are the promises that he's made unto me? And that's how we apply the scriptures. And that's why it's good for us to be quick to act. Let's just read one more. Finish with one more. This is a final one. If you really, really want to benefit from the word, read and share.
Hallelujah.
When God speaks something to you, if you want that thing to become even more quickened and more rich and deep, go and share it with somebody else.
Yes.
Like the woman at the well.
Amen.
When Jesus spoke to her, she left her water pot straight to the city. Come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Is this not this the Messiah? Ah, friends, it's a blessed principle.
Yes.
Jesus says, give and it shall be given unto you.
Amen.
But when we stop giving, it stops giving unto
yes,
us.
Yes, yes,
but when God reveals something to you and he knows you're going to be faithful to use that to bless other people, he's going to continue to give you things.
Yes.
He's going to continue to unfold things, precious things to you. What does the Bible say? It says, what does the scripture say? It says, he ministers seed to the sower. Friends, you just keep on sowing. God speaks to you, go and sow that. Watch how he's going to replenish your stock of seed. He's going to replenish it. Ah, friends, it says, the soul that watereth shall itself be watered. Yeah? And he that feedeth, I think it says, shall be made fat. Or something like that. He ministers. That's God's principle. If God has spoken to you, if God has blessed you, maybe there's someone at work who's sick. Maybe God has healed you. God has made a promise real to you. Go and tell that person the same thing. Go and pass on the blessing. If God has delivered you from great floods, great trials, great tribulation, you'll find somebody else within your zone of influence going through the same thing. You go and share that with them and see how much more real those promises become to you. Oh, it's a blessed thing, friends. God's word has everything that we need.
Amen.
Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And friends, we don't only have the word, we have the author.
Amen.
We have the spirit of truth dwelling in us. That if we just get ourselves yielded and bring ourselves humbly before him, the same spirit which quickened those prophets to breathe this word, that same spirit's living inside of you.
Hallelujah.
That same spirit is in you that's able now to take those promises and bring them to apply in your current situation. That's why as we finish in how can I overcome, the prophet says, how do we overcome? He says, Jesus, when it was time for him to overcome, the only thing that he had to do was to realize, great is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
That's what he had to realize. He had to realize that inside of me is the author of the word. Inside of me is the word himself. The devil cannot overcome the word. So in my situation now, I need to get myself out the way. I need to get myself yielded. I need to get myself prayed up. I need to wait upon him in his word so that the word himself might express himself.
Amen.
And then just as much as the devil was completely thwarted and defeated in the wilderness with Jesus,
amen,
he's going to be just as defeated when he meets up with you.
Amen.
But it's not by power, friends. It's not by might. It's not by your good intentions. It's not by your New Year's resolutions. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not making some new pledge. No, those things are as good as they all are. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So we need to get into the spirit of his word. We need to approach it the right way. We need to esteem his word like David above our necessary food. David loved the word above anything else. We need to humbly approach it, apply it to ourselves. We need to meditate upon the word. We need to apply that word. We need to put it into action, obey what it is that he says. And then finally, share the word. Share if he's been good to you. Go and tell somebody else. Don't be like the 9 lepers. Be like the 10th who comes back to say, Lord, thank you for what you did for me. Let me share the blessing. And you find that God will really bless you. Let's get back into the Bible, friends. And we have a message, friends, that shines such light on the scriptures. Oh, friends, there's never been a message like this. Right from the days of Paul right up to now. That you had a message that could shine light upon the scripture. To show us God's original interpretation of his own word.
Amen.
We are blessed people.
Amen.
Let's use the blessing.
Amen.
Let's stand, saints.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song. About the word, what's that one about? Holy words, holy words, long preserved.
Amen.
Let's sing that song about ancient words.
Amen.
Long preserved for our walk in this world.
Amen.
And let's come to a time of prayer.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. words of hope. Give us strength, Lord, help us to go in this world wherever we roam. Ancient words will guide us. Ancient word, ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing. Sing that last one again. Holy words of our faith, and they come to the stage, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, in the faithful words of Christ, holy words long preserved. Ancient words, ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Let's bow our heads. You know where you are. He knows your name. He knows your every need. He sees each tear that falls. He's the Word. His name is Jesus. Because the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And the Word has come back in this age. in the form of the pillar of fire. And he's wheresoever this message will be preached. So why not speak to him? Maybe you've spoken to other people. Maybe you've spoken to the doctor. That was good, but you spoke to the wrong person. Maybe you spoke to your neighbor. Maybe you spoke to whoever that it was. And no matter how sincere they were, but it hasn't imparted something that you need inside of your life. That hasn't brought about a manifestation of something that you require in your situation. As a brother used to sing a song, I'll introduce you.
Amen.
To a friend of mine. His name is Jesus. He's with you all the time. Let's speak to the rock today. Let's speak to the rock. It'll bring forth its waters. He's never far away. Maybe you need to cry out like Bartimaeus, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Maybe you're like the woman with an issue of blood. You need to press through the crowd of your thoughts, the crowd of your memories, the pressing in of this and the pressing in of that. Just press through until you touch him and see how the virtue will come forth from the word.
Amen.
And will minister into your situation.
Hallelujah.
If you need salvation, call upon the name of the Lord. As many as call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved, the Bible says. Let's look away to Jesus today. Let's thank him for his goodness. Let's thank him for his grace. Let's come before him with prayer. Let's all pray in Jesus' name.
Father, we're grateful, Father, to come to thine house even upon this day, Father, to hear, Father, holy words of wisdom, Father, words of life, Lord, words that do impart, Lord, Savior, Father, Lord, that unction that we need at this junction of time. They can make life tough. We ask now your grace. We ask now your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' wondrous and holy name we pray. Amen and amen, Father. Amen, Lord, Father.
Let's just come to a time of worship before we close in prayer, saints.
We are here to praise thee. Lift our hands and sing. We are here to give you, Lord. Oh, bringing you our love, bringing you our love, rising from our hearts, everything within us cries, we love you. Everything within us cries, I love you.
His throne comes down. Don't you love to approach His throne? Let's sing that song.
Surely around it, His throne comes down. Oh, surely around it, the door to heaven is found. And we know we're standing on holy ground. His chosen place of worship is found, and we know we are standing on holy ground. He's here. Surely the presence of the Lord is here. Surely. Open now. here today. Oh, that throne has come down. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Around here, his throne comes down. Amen. Let's sing one more. Let's sing that song. I pledge allegiance Amen. To the Lamb.
Amen.
With all my heart. Yes. With all I am. Let's pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
I have heard of Christians long ago who were brought before the tyrant's throne. They were told that he was dead and alive. If they would denounce the name of the Lord, but one by one they chose
to die for the Son of God.
To come close for us in a word of prayer, if you'd be kind enough.
You are, that's what I long for.
That's what I'm longing for.
Heart that follows after me.
Oh, a heart that hides your word.
A heart that hides your word. So that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided. One you rule and reign.
Our prayer, Lord, a pure heart, oh, that can hide your word, God, even as we have heard, Lord, this day, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to thank you. We want to praise you, Lord. We want to tell you that, Lord, we appreciate you. We want to say, the Lord, we thank you, God.
Amen.
Oh, from the morning we came in, Lord.
Hallelujah.
To this very hour, Lord Jesus, you've been speaking to us.
Amen.
We have seen your presence amongst us, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us today. Even as the word tells us, Lord, you spoke to the fathers of the old time through the prophets. But in this last day, you have spoken to us by your Son, O God. Father, from the time that you laid the foundation of your church, it was upon a revelation of who you are. And you said the gates of hell can never prevail against it. And Lord, we see in this our day how the enemy is fighting against your word, O God. But Father, we thank you that even at all times, Lord, there is a way to expose the enemy. Father, we thank you, the Lord, this day you have shown us the way how to even approach your word, O God, with fear and with all humility, Lord. Oh, with godly fear and reverence, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask the Lord, we need your quickening, O God. In all things, the Lord Jesus, as we approach your word, O God, even today, we want to take it as your word, Lord. That even we will pray before even we open your word, O God.
Amen.
Father, this is what, Lord, you have taught us this morning.
Amen.
And Lord, let it be something, O God, we will never forget, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we thank you. You have given us your word, O God,
Amen.
To live by, O Lord, so we can express your word, O God,
Amen.
So we can be like you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, anything that, Lord, the enemy will try, oh, to draw our attention, Lord, oh, to take us away from your word, Lord Jesus, we pray that, oh God, Your quickening power will always come, Lord, and rescue the situation, Lord Jesus. All this social media, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, let's place your word first, oh God. Let's seek you first, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, oh, through that, oh God, we will be like you, Lord. Father, as we thank you, Lord, for this day, what you have spoken to us, Lord. Father, we pray the Lord, a ground has already been prepared, Lord. And the fruits of it, oh God, is going to be shown. Oh, to show that, Lord, what you have spoken to us, Lord, we are living by it. We are applying them, oh God. And the Lord Jesus, even what we have received, we will share with our brother. We will share with one another, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Anything that is not edifying, out of our way. Anything that is not expedient, out of our way. The Lord, all our concentration of God will be upon your word, meditating upon it day and night, Lord. Oh, because we know through that, oh Lord, we will be able, Lord, oh, to be able to get successes, Lord. Father, we thank you, we bless you. Bless our pastor, Lord.
Amen.
Today has been a real joy, Lord. Oh, your presence is so joyful, Lord. And we thank you, you've come down to fulfill your word, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will always be in their midst. We have experienced your presence this morning. Father, bless our pastor, bless the family. Oh, Lord, restore him. And Father, always, oh God, when he opens to your word, oh God, oh, the inspirations behind your word, oh God, oh, let it be always, Lord, our portion, the portion of the church, oh God. Oh, even, Lord, if your word, oh God, has to come as a rebuke, Lord, let your church accept. Correction, let us accept, Lord. Oh, even for doctrine, oh Lord. Because through this, Lord Jesus, we, the sons of God, will be thoroughly finished unto all good works. Help your church, Lord. Bless your church, Lord. Bless the ministers. Bless the officers. Bless the husbands. Bless wives. Bless the youths. Bless the children. Oh, bless your church, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, all that, Lord, we do is, Lord, we have humbled ourselves, oh God, unto thee, oh Lord Jesus. And Father, we commit, Lord, our going into your hands. Even as we have heard, Father, quicken each and every one. We take this word away to meditate upon them. And come back, oh Lord Jesus, real refreshed, Lord, to receive more. Father, we commit our going out into your hands. As you brought us in, grant us many mercies once again. And even, Father, we pray for all other road users. We don't know them, but Father, keep everyone safe unto his or her destination, Lord. And the rest of the week, Lord, as we've started right from your presence, Lord, Father, you said you are the one that directs the footsteps of the righteous man. Through the week, Lord, some will be going to work. Amen. Some will be going to school. Some will be going to colleges. Oh, Lord, some will be at home. Amen. Father, we bring all before the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord, you sweep over us, oh God. Keep each home, Lord, safe, Lord. Father, once again, the week from Wednesday and Friday, oh Lord, we commit them into your hands. If you tarry,
Amen.
Once again, we need the visitation. Come amongst your children. Even as, Lord, you walk amongst the two disciples going to Emmaus, Lord. Father, come amongst us always and reveal yourself to us. We thank you in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
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 God bless you, Luke. Thanks, man. Hallelujah. Just one announcement before we dismiss it concerning next weekend. Next weekend, there's no Friday service here because we're going with the officers, musicians, so forth for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning to Wicklow. So we'll be going there on Friday evening. We'll speak after service about what time we'll start there because we just need to find out from brothers what time we can all get there. So there'll be nothing here on Friday evening. On Sunday, we'll have service starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because we'll finish up there in the morning and then we'll come straight from there. We'll come to service. What we're gathering, therefore, is to pray and seek the Lord for this year that's coming ahead. So we're looking at such things, wanting to pray, seek the mind of God concerning evangelism in the year ahead, youth, Sunday school, all the different aspects of church, music and so forth. So we're going to be meeting together, musicians, all the officers, just to come together for a time before the Lord to discuss, to come into His presence. And then we'll come back on Sunday and then we'll present it to the church. What we had really believed by the grace of God would be our vision, what we desire saints to be supporting in, praying about, and putting our focus in as we get into the new year. So there's no Friday service, but we'll have service here starting at 2 o'clock. I'm sorry, Bro Greg, I know that will mess you a little for your work, I think, but we start eyes off. Good. All things work together for good. So we're glad about that. So please be in prayer about that. We're just wanting really to get together for the sake of unity, for the sake of a conference with God. The prophet says you come together for a conference to get fresh orders and then you go forward. And that's our desire. So we'll speak to the brothers after service. Let's sing one more. Let's sing that song, In Your Presence. That's where I'm strong, and may the Lord bless everyone as we dismiss.
If I can just, sorry. Bro.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to, this morning when I got up, see, two things happened to me this morning, and it was amazing how it happened. I reset my phone, so it configured everything. So I put a new PIN number, and when I put a new PIN number, it was on Friday night, and I never used the PIN until Sunday. But I turned the phone off last night, so I had to ring the Brother Victor. So now I couldn't remember the PIN. So I said, Leander, let's pray. I know it's my birth and all that. So I managed to get it, but I just knew that something's going to happen today. Because I knew there's going to be some difficulties. And we went, I picked up Brother Gershon, went to pick up the brother, and the brother said, sorry, I'm still asleep. So I said, no, we'll wait for you. So we had the engine on and the heating blowing in the car because it was cold. And then when he said 10 minutes, I switched off the engine but never switched off the lights. So the car couldn't start. And I thought, now, for me to get to church, back home, pick up my family, how are we going to do it? We tried pushing. It was impossible. We couldn't. I'm not an experienced driver. I was trying to start it in first. But it's funny, when I was in the world, when I used to drink, I could do it, but I couldn't do it today, you know. So the car couldn't start. And then I stopped the one car, and an Irish taxi driver stopped, and I said, please, can you, I have jumper leads. He said, no, I thought you wanted directions. No time, sorry. Then the next man we seen, I just seen two dark figures, and I just stopped the car. And this man came, he stopped. I said, please, brother, can you help us? As Nigerian, two men. I said, we need jumper leads. I have jumper leads. He says, but my car won't start. I said, but please, I'll pay you some money. And I didn't even have money. I had no money in my pocket. So the man, he came, he said, I don't think it will start because my car is small. So we put the jumper leads, it wouldn't start. Then he said, okay, look, come. You know how to push that? I said, I don't know. He said, okay, let me jump in. So we jumped in. Hey, we pushed. We pushed for time, and it was very painful. So then eventually we pushed, and it started. And we ran around the corner and came back, and the car cut. And the brother said, oh, God, please, no. See, but we managed to make it in time. So even I was eating my breakfast in the car when we were driving, you know. But we praised God because I knew it was going to be a good service. Amen. When all the things that were happening today. Amen.
Just this announcement, please don't forget about all youth. Please stay behind and pick a name from Sister Lillian. Thank you.
In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence. Fire cannot burn me.
seeking your face, oh, touching your